The Cray Curriculum is a multiple award-winning Aboriginal early childhood consultancy that is offering a range of professional development programs and workshops for educators. The aim is to help guide the inclusion of Aboriginal perspectives in early childhood curriculums. The Cray Curriculum is operated by a Wiradjuri woman and early childhood educator herself, Jessica Staines. Jessica has over 15 years of experience working in the field. Among others, she took part in the World Forum Foundation's Global Leaders Program, and she later became the national representative for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Jessica also became the Aboriginal Early Childhood Advisor for TV's Play School. In 2021, Jessica became part of the IATSIS Education Advisory Committee and the HIPPI Reference Group, where she continues to support the development of resources and programs that support Aboriginal children and families in the early years. And Jessica Staines is now joining us on NITV Radio. Hello, Jess, and welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Can you please first tell us who your people are and where you come from?
Yeah, sure. So my family is originally from Molonglen Park, so the Wiradjuri Nation. But for four or five generations, family's been in Gadigal country, which is Sydney, and I live on Darkinyong country, which is the New South Wales central coast. So we've been around our family. We're spread out now across a pretty wide area. And the Koori curriculum is an Aboriginal early childhood consultancy, and essentially we support early childhood educators to include cultural perspectives respectfully in their day-to-day curriculum and planning.
That was actually my first question. If we can talk about the inclusion of Aboriginal perspectives, so what can we imagine? How does it look like in practice?
Yeah, so it's multifaceted, and we tend to use three things. So Aboriginal pedagogy, where we teach through culture and traditional teaching practices rather than about culture. So looking at old storytelling, for example, or connecting to country with our curriculum planning. The second way is that we include cultural perspectives in topics of inquiry or in children's interests. So it's not tacked on and separate, but it's just a part of everything that we do. So really looking holistically at how we can include culture in context. And the third way is that we create culturally inclusive play spaces and environments. So we're aiming not to have a cultural corner where all the Aboriginal resources and puzzles and games and pictures are gathered together like a wing in a museum, but instead looking at how we can have cultural representation in the art area or in dramatic play or in the sand pit and so forth. So it's natural, and it's also, you know, it provides a culturally safe environment for Aboriginal families as well. Yeah.
And this is for early childhood education centres, or is it also for maybe older children as well?
Predominantly we work with early childhood educators. I'm an early childhood teacher, so that's my background and qualifications. But we also do work with primary schools occasionally, and OOSH services, so the outside of school hours care, but predominantly early childhood, yeah.
And what has been the response so far?
Look, I think most educators really want to include culture respectfully and meaningfully in their program, but many non-Indigenous educators haven't had a lot of experience. You know, Aboriginal culture and history wasn't included truthfully or holistically in their education, and so a lot of them worry about being offensive or tokenistic and saying and doing the wrong thing. So a lot of educators are becoming more proactive and seeking that professional development and reaching out to organisations like ours where we can support them in building their cultural capacity and confidence. And now we've seen changes to the early years learning framework where including culture is no longer an optional extra that's based on teachers' enthusiasm, but it's now a requirement. So we're seeing a lot of educators having that catalyst for change that's coming from our curriculum to want to start inquiring about how they can review their practice. But yeah, I think the uptake has been good, and it's growing and growing each year.
I'm actually in the process of looking for a daycare or early childhood education for my kid, and it's quite overwhelming. So how would I know if the centre has worked with you? Is there a way to tell?
Not that they've worked with me, but there are definitely some things that I would look for if it you know, something that you value, the importance of cultural inclusion, is I would ask them if they have a reconciliation action plan with Narragansett, which is through Reconciliation Australia, which outlines their commitment and, you know, goals and actions that they're hoping to achieve and work towards in their Aboriginal program. So for me, that's pretty important. I would look at their centre philosophy to make sure that there's mention of respect for traditional owners, see if they have an acknowledgement of country. I would inquire if they have Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander educators on staff or what their partnerships look like with their local community. You know, if they're New South Wales based, which is where I am, you know, asking if they're members of their local AECG, which is their Aboriginal Education Consultative Group. So these are all sort of signs and signals that educators are committed, and looking at their enrolment pack, does it make it clear in there to families that reconciliation and the cultural inclusion is important for them? So those are things that I would look for as a parent as to what service I send my child to. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And on your webpage, there's a variety of workshops and webinars for educators that you offer. And one that really caught my eye specifically is called Embedding Aboriginal Perspectives for Infants. So who is this one for? Obviously for infants.
Yeah. But I think a lot of early childhood educators really struggle with how to make it meaningful for 0 to 2s, obviously with older children. We can have discussions and, you know, teach things more directly with them. But for younger children, we don't want to give them washed down preschool experiences and really stay true to where they are at developmentally. For me, you know, it can be simple things like giving them time out on country, that they're developing a relationship with the land, and from that comes a love and innate respect, which will then be scaffolded upon as they move up in the different age groups, to have that respect for the land and the traditional owners. To facilitate relationships with infants, with community members and elders, whether we're having residencies. So relationships and connecting with country is sort of first, and then looking at sensory motor experiences that we can give them. So whether we're looking at having bush tucker gardens that are edible, and we can have, you know, experiences with plants like lemon myrtle, which they can crush and suck and taste and smell, and making it tactile. How we can make Aboriginal art tactile for them, so using coasters and tea towels and having it down at their level rather than up high on the wall at our level. So thinking about what we can do to make culture accessible for them, laying that foundation that we would build upon as they move up in the different age groups in an early learning service.
Mm-hmm. Do you work also with parents, or is it just with the education centres?
It looks like we have a webinar that's for families, which is Embedding Aboriginal Perspectives at Home, and that's vastly based on my 2 children. I've got a 2.5-year-old, and my son's about to turn 1 in a couple of days. So we're talking about how we share our culture at home with our children. So you're welcome to have a look at that. But the other thing, we have a lot of freebies on our website. So we've got show and tell episodes that you can look at, different links to podcasts, like Little Yarns podcast is great for you to listen to in the car with your children, looking at playlists on Spotify. So I'm listening to Alinta and Waveney at the moment. There's some great songs there. Another resource that we have, it's called Shirley Pearl and Her Bush Friends. So it's a letter subscription that you can subscribe to for your children and families, where you get a letter each month that talks about Shirley's adventures on country. That also includes cultural information. So for example, this month was about going down to the river and fishing and finding wallabies and grinding up ochre to make sunscreen and looking at scar trees and so forth. So there's a letter subscription that a lot of families are using as well at the moment.
That's amazing. Who are the people who attend your workshops? Is it more First Nations people, or is it actually non-Indigenous people or educators, I should say?
It just depends. The people that come to our public workshops, mainly they are non-Indigenous people that are wanting to learn and to do better and make those connections. They have lots of questions, and often we're that bridge between their school early learning service and their local community and different organisations. So we refer a lot of people and connect people up. But we also do work with First Nations educators. So last week I was working with Mogo Aboriginal Preschool down in New South Wales South Coast, and we're working with them throughout this year and next year, customising their curriculum in context to their community and doing a lot of community consultations down there. It's just different. The work that we do with Aboriginal preschools tends to be different because they already know about their culture. It's just about looking at ways to transfer that and adapt that into their curriculum, so to speak, whereas the work that we do with non-Indigenous educators can vary because some know nothing about the culture, some know a lot. They're all at different levels. It just depends.
And my last question. Last week, the Koori Curriculum announced the winners of the Koori Curriculum Educator Awards. What is this competition about and who won this year?
The Koori Curriculum Educator Awards has been running for a couple of years now, and it's really to acknowledge leaders within education that are authentically and respectfully embedding Aboriginal perspectives and working in partnership with their local Aboriginal communities. So we have three award categories. So one was First Nations Early Childhood Educator of the Year, which went to Shana Nader. She's an Arenda educator that's working on Kaurna country, and she's doing an amazing job there, really sharing her culture and local culture and bringing that team along on the journey with her. And then we have Primary School Teacher of the Year, and this year that went to Aaron Johnston, who's a principal that's on the Central Coast, which is where I am. He has a Facebook and Instagram account, which is called Mr. J's Learning Space, which I highly recommend teachers that are listening to go and check out and follow him. He's been an amazing ally to First Nations peoples for a very long time. In 2019, I first met him when he participated in the Share the Mic competition, where it was amplifying First Nations voices. And he's also been an ambassador with Wingaru Education and participating in their NAIDOC challenge. So he's amazing. He also has a podcast, which is called the Teacher Takeaway Podcast, where he interviews, you know, First Nations educators often. So Aaron was the Primary School Teacher of the Year, and then we had Ally of the Year, and there were two winners of that. One was Narelle Carhill, who mentors six early learning services on their reconciliation action plans and has developed really beautiful relationships with local elders and been able to authentically embed their perspectives and goals in experiences and in the curriculum at the service. And then there's Kimi, who's a Maori woman, and she's mentoring 60 early learning services with Greenleaf Education. So there's quite a few of their services that she's working with, and she's really been spearheading reconciliation with them. And they've gone and done, you know, on-country experiences at Uluru and had their directors workshops there and so forth. So I feel like there were four very deserving winners, but we had many, many finalists and nominations this year, which you can still see on our website and read more about these amazing educators, and they're doing an amazing job.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Jess, for taking your time to talk to us on NITV Radio today about Koori Curriculum and the way you guide the inclusion of Aboriginal perspectives into early childhood curriculums.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate being on. Thank you.